What's up, everyone? Welcome to Self Calorie for the Queer. The queer is here, and maybe even out there. I'm your host, Abby, and today we're talking about Pride. Pride Month has always been about accepting who you are and building this community, and a lot of celebrities this month have actually joined, well, not joined, of course, but they've become openly a part of the community. The first one, actually, I was supposed to film this morning, but I got delayed, and then I actually added this one on just a few minutes ago, was Lil Nas X. I hope I'm saying that right. He's, of course, the Old Town Road singer. I think that's how he sings. But he came out as gay last night. He was honestly like, you know, what? Some people know, some people don't. And he was obviously like, I wasn't trying to hide it, which... You know, owning this truth, I do now, like, want to see, like, all these, you know, country folk who've been singing about it, suddenly stop, because, oh, he's gay, you know? So, the next one is Phil Lester. He's a YouTuber, been around for forever on YouTube, and then just yesterday afternoon, he came out as gay. Following a few weeks before that, his flatmate, Dan Howell, actually came out as, he said gay, but he also, goes by the term queer, too. And then there's also Connor Jessup. He's an actor. He came out as gay. He actually is going to be in a Hulu show coming up. And then Eugene Lee Yang, he's a Try Guy, of course, they're a YouTube. They used to work for BuzzFeed, but then they branched off and they became their own company. And he actually posted on the Try Guy's YouTube account a whole really dramatic video called I'm Gay. So, of course, he came out as gay. And then finally, our lovable queen, Jonathan Van Ness, yeah, of course, he's one of the Queer Eye guys. He came out as non-binary, a few weeks ago. So, yeah, there have been a lot of people who have came in, they were like, of course, like, they were some of these people, like, they were either assumptions beforehand, or they were a part of the community in other spaces, but then they've developed into other spaces as well. To clear up, Jonathan has actually stated that he is fine with he, him, and she, her pronouns. I'm pretty sure I got that right. I hope so. But, it's great seeing all of these, and like, just... how each one have, like, a different way of coming out. It was crazy. I know, like, Dan and Phil both posted videos, but Phil's was 7 minutes long, and then Dan's was, like, 30 minutes. And then Lil Nas, he just came out on Twitter. Gee, I don't even think he really came out. He was just like, oh, yeah, you should probably go listen to this song a bit more closely. And then I already talked about how Eugene came out. And then Jonathan talked in a... magazine about it. So yeah, of course, a big welcome. It's being open and out. It's the best thing ever. So yeah, let's move right on. Next, we're going to talk about some, this one story that I actually read in a segment called They Tried, But I Wish They Didn't, actually. This week's comes from our former vice president and now presidential candidate, Joe Biden, who said 5 years ago it would have been completely normal to make fun of a gay waiter, which 5 years ago he was a vice president. So first of all, like, a vice president shouldn't have been making fun of anyone. And it would definitely, I don't think 5 years ago, I would have found it normal. And second of all, like, making fun of anyone isn't, like, should never be normal. Especially, like, whenever they're a service worker. Like, when, you know, they're, like, a waiter or someone who is just, you know, there to do their jobs. Like, you shouldn't make fun of them, especially for their sexuality. Joe Biden, we kind of understood. Like, we understand, like, you tried, but next time, maybe don't. Next, we're going to go into our segment today in queer history. Today, of course, is July 1st. Dang, the month, the year is really starting to fly by. But actually, today in queer history, in 1947, the start of labeling discharges of gay and lesbian service people was considered a homosexual. Dishonorable discharge, because before all discharges, either like for medical reasons, things like that, were considered blue discharges. In the end, they changed it to where every person who was seen who has committed a homosexual act would be dishonorably discharged. So there's like a couple things that can get you dishonorably discharged, either having so many complaints from your superior officers, you know, and then before Don't Ask, Don't Tell, was repealed by President Obama, that could also get you dishonorably discharged. Also, today in 1969, the District of Columbia's Court of Appeals ruled that the termination of Clifford Newton, a gay NASA worker who was fired for, quote, immoral conduct, unquote, was unlawful. So basically, a appeals court, like, this dude took NASA to court, and they're like, yo, I got fired for being gay. And the Court of Appeals was like, that's unlawful, of course, because discrimination in our, like, government facilities or government-run facilities is illegal, no matter what you're discriminating against them for. So that was actually a big step, because now, even though private businesses in many states can still either not hire you for being gay or trans, or fire you for finding out that you're gay or trans, the federal government or state government's facilities can't do that. Also, today in 1972, the UK's first gay march was held, and about 2,000 gay and lesbians gathered in the center of the UK. I did the math last night. I'm pretty sure it was 5 years after the Stonewall riots in the U.S. Not exact dates, but actually pretty close. Stonewall was Saturday? Friday? Something like that. But yeah, it was a little over 5 years between the Stonewall riots in the U.S. and then this march that was held in the U.K. in London. And, you know, it's the start of something, because now we still have these gay marches. Of course, the UK, like London, they have some really big ones, actually, over there. So that was the start of that. And then, in 1975, on June 1st, California and Washington both decriminalized consensual adult homosexual acts. Meaning that, like, all over the country, like, it was illegal to commit quote-unquote homosexual acts. But California and Washington decided to decriminalize it. And then finally, 1989, which honestly wasn't that long ago, the CDC announced that the number of confirmed AIDS cases had exceeded 100,000. Which, of course, like, the AIDS epidemic has completely devastated the community in the past, and is still actually wreaking havoc on it today. Which is why I like to take this time to, like, urge everyone to, if you are worried about having contacted an STD or HIV or AIDS, which are also STDs, but of course, go get tested. Because self-care is not only about taking care of yourself mentally or taking care of yourself, but also taking care of yourself physically, because if your other, like, you know, you're mentally healthy and your, like, soul's healthy, but your physical health isn't healthy, then of course, your whole body's not going to be healthy. So, even if, like, a part of your self-care routine has to be every 3 to 6 months going and getting tested for HIV or AIDS, then do it, because they have treatments that can make your lives way better before, but after you get diagnosed. But if you just leave it untreated, of course, it will develop into AIDS, and you'll pass, of course. So, yeah. So that's all of today's queer history. And let's get on to our next segment. Of course, today we're talking about Pride. That's the whole theme of today's podcast. And I was lucky enough to be able to go to Pride a couple weeks back. Of course, like, it wasn't any of the big ones like LA or New York, but it was for, you know, the first time I've ever been. It was totally, like, it was amazing. The lowball estimate is 6,000 people, which for people who live in, like, large cities or have been to large parts, they're like, oh, that's a lot. But the population of my town is, like, the last census, it was 5,000. So, like, to see all those people there, like, we had it on a street called a gay street, and you looked one way, all you could see is people and flags, sorry, and then you look in the other direction, you see people and flags. That was before, like, the parade itself. In the end, like, they had police there, and, like, the police would come back and forth, like, during the parade too, which I didn't really like, because, like, you're trying to, you know, interact with the parade and stuff, and then the police would go back and forth. But overall, like, that was the only downside I really saw to it. But the best way that I could sum it up is someone I was with down there said, look at all these people who don't hate us. And you know what, that explains it all, because a rural town filled with quote-unquote Christians. I'll probably make a whole podcast about, you know, religion and all that junk and how it relates to, especially, like, the mental health of queer people. But it was, like, it was crazy. And there were actually two engagements during the parade. One of them was a woman who worked for Discovery, who proposed to her girlfriend during the parade. Another one was a man who proposed to his boyfriend, not in the parade, but, like, he was one of the onlookers, I'm pretty sure. So it was crazy, and it was the craziest thing I've ever seen. Like, the first time I ever saw a drag queen, like, in person. And it was crazy. All of them were beautiful. I mean, yeah. And then they also had, like, people in huge heels and stilts, and I could never do it. Like, my feet would be destroyed by the end of it. But it was crazy. It was amazing. It was honestly the best, one of the best days of my life. And of course, like, with, you know, a big group of, you know, gay people celebrating the fact that, you know, they're open and out, and, you know, they love people. Comes, you know, protesters, and there were, six of them, I think. There's this one guy, of course, he was a white guy, carrying one of those signs. I think anyone who knows about, you know, pride protesters know the signs we're talking about. And he was trying to walk back and forth during the parade, with it. But this one woman, she was, I guess she knew, like, yo, they were gonna be these people there doing this, so she made her own sign that says, like, Jesus loves you, and rainbows all over the place and stuff, and, like, covered up this dude's sign by just holding it in front of him, like, basically showing him, like, towards, like, the street and stuff so that she could, you know, hold her sign where the people at the parade couldn't see them, which was awesome. Then after they had a fest afterwards, which we left and then we came back before, and then we left very quickly after. But there was this one guy, he was, honestly, I don't know if he was talking to himself or someone on the phone or what, but he was talking to himself. And, like, he was just, like, pacing back and forth. Like, we were all waiting to walk across the crosswalk, and he was walking back and forth. And I had my purse, and I had my pepper spray with it, you know, just in case, because, you know, now people are crazy. And I walked up to him, and I was like, you know what? God will forgive you for your hate. For your hatred. Because, like, that's one of the huge things that God was against, was hatred. You know, and the best way to show the light is through love, not through hatred, which I feel is the big issue with a lot of conservatives, who they forget about the love part whenever it comes to God in the Bible. But again, that's another podcast altogether. But then, after that guy, like, left after I told him that, because he said something else to me, blah, 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 whatnot. But he left, like, we came back through and he was gone. But then, a few, you know, about a block down, we were walking to the car park, and there was these five guys wearing all black, face mask, everything. All you could see were their eyes. Which my brother was like, oh, they're Antifa. Which I don't know, like, I'm not really versed in the random people who, you know, stand on sidewalks, protesting, you know, people loving each other. So I don't know. And they were just holding signs where, like, Jesus wouldn't want you to be gay. So we just basically walked around them, because there were some older, men there, basically telling them like it was. But then there was also a lot of police there, which I know that's very controversial in the community, just because in the beginning Pride was a protest against the police arresting queer people, specifically trans people of color, and sex workers of color. But the police, they were heavily armed. Like, they had tear gas. They were in the big, like, armored trucks. Then there were some other ones just in their police cars, and then there were some on the bikes. But yeah, armored trucks. With, like, these guys, they were carrying, like, semi-automatic, like, weapons. But that was towards the end of it. And honestly, it didn't make me feel safe at all, if I'm being completely honest. Because just being so close to, like, police with just that much firepower did kind of freak me out. And that even comes from my place of privilege of being a white woman. I don't know how the men of color and the women of color who were there felt, because I know they are even more at risk for police brutality, way more. But I wasn't a fan of it, just to conclude that. And then, of course, like I said, they had a fest afterwards, and, you know, I think all pride parades have kind of a fest afterwards, and ours, it was just really crowded, and the people I were with and myself, we all deal with social anxiety, especially in crowds. Mine doesn't get as bad because, of course, I am medicated for it, which I'll probably talk about some other time more in depth, but we decided, like, it wasn't worth, like, shoving through people in the crowds, because there was nothing really there, because none of us wanted to buy anything, and at that point, all of the people we had wanted to see had already, you know, performed while we were gone eating, because we didn't want to get sick in the rain, during it too. So we decided we went in and then we came back and then we left pretty quickly afterwards. So it was, but at the end of the day, excuse me, it was one of the best days of my life. I mean, seeing all those people there that not only don't hate you, but also support you. Because just growing up, I never saw, especially things like churches. There were a lot, like, very active churches there. And just to see the support that came from the Christian community. And even, you know, there were some larger corporations. But just, I think what hit me the most were the churches there. Who were there saying, like, yo, we love you. And also the free mom's hugs and the free dad hugs. Things like that. That was amazing. Luckily, I have supportive parents, but I know a lot of people who don't, and seeing that was definitely amazing. And then whenever I got home, it sucked, to be quite honest, to go from this place where you knew you were surrounded by people who didn't hate you, who supported you, to a place where basically one of the people I was with was like, make sure you take off all this stuff before we get back to our town, because it definitely won't be taken well. Luckily we just got dropped off at home at my house, and we didn't stop in town, or else we would have had to basically take off your face paint and stuff like that, which I was the only one really had a lot of rainbow stuff on, which I am very open and out, which again is a place of privilege for myself that I can be open because of the support I get from my family. But it honestly, like, I came home and I went to bed, slept, then woke up and went back to bed, actually, because I took a nap and went back to bed, and it's definitely like a low. I was like, just, it's crazy that when, like, you see all these people, like, it's such an unreal experience, and then going back to this where I can't, you know, I can't go to Walmart, and wear, like, a loved one shirt without, you know, getting criticized and having, you know, some awful experiences. So, it was just definitely hard and difficult afterwards. And I wish every day could be like that day at the Pride Parade, because it would be amazing. I wish I always felt as open and, like, supported and stuff as I did that day. So, if you get a chance, like, I would so recommend going. I'd recommend to anyone in the community to go. It's one of the best experiences, at least the one I went to. I know once you get into, like, the bigger ones, there's a lot more people, and it's a bit more difficult for people with anxiety and stuff. So I wouldn't, for people, just jump right into a place like LA or New York's Pride. Definitely start with smaller ones, just to get, because that after, it could definitely be a lot harder. At least, I feel like going from, again, seeing such, like, a tremendous thing to not having that. So, work yourself up to it. Kind of like roller coasters. You know, smaller ones build up to, you know, bigger ones. Which, I don't know if I'm the only person who does that for roller coasters. But, honestly, 10 out of 10 experience, besides, you know, the police. But it was crazy. Like I've said already, like, best days of my life. I was actually lucky enough to share it with some people I'm close to, like, with my family. My dad was actually the one who took us, he drove us down there. So, it was amazing. Definitely recommend anyone who has the ability to do it, but also remember to be safe and all that junk when you decide if you want to go. But yeah, I can't wait till next year. I actually wanted to go to another one last weekend, because I went to this the weekend before last. I wanted to go to another one last weekend, but I just conflicting schedules, so I couldn't go. But I really wish I could. I saw pictures and stuff, and it was amazing. Also, animals at Pride are adorable. I mean, there's so many dogs there, like, it was amazing. But there's also, like, a pig, like, tutu and all. And then there's a dog with a bow tie. It was amazing. I could talk about it for, like, 6 years. I probably will be talking about it for 6 years, honestly. But best days of my life. So, yeah. Just in conclusion, like, Pride is amazing. Like, the parade, amazing. Fast, eh. I couldn't live without it. But, like, if it was, like, there was, like, a headliner or someone, like, something big, like, I definitely would have, may have been a bit more willing to push through the crowd to deal with it. But just, it was a long day anyway. But the parade was actually really long, too. It was, like, it felt like an hour and a half. Like, my knees ached afterwards from standing so long. And the next day, like, my arms were so sore from clapping so much. And, like, while I was clapping, I'm sure, like, I felt like I had swung my hands back so much. Like, they were kind of just flopping back and forth. It was best day. I actually wanted to film this podcast back then, like, 2 weeks ago at this point. But it's just, I had to have time to process so that I could talk about it. And, like, yeah. Excuse me, I'm getting really tired. So yeah, best experience ever. So now, like, that's, yeah, so let's move right along to our next segment. To wrap up today's show, we are going to give a shout out to these corporations that are only slightly homophobic, and by slightly, I mean very. First is Chick-fil-A, of course. They donated $1.8 million to 3 different organizations that have either in the past had homophobic policies and standpoints or currently do. The first is Fellowship of Christian Athletes, which requires its employees to refrain from homosexual acts, which I don't know how they'd keep track of that, for one, and two, I find it very weird that, like, a boss can be like, yo, you're not allowed to do this in the privacy of your own home, off of company time. I find that weird. The next one is the Paul Anderson Youth Home, which teaches the boys that stay there, specifically young boys, that same-sex marriage rages against Jesus Christ and his values. Which is altogether one of the, I don't know, that statement's just crazy. Just really, I don't know, the best way to put it, it's just, yeah. I don't know, like, just, like, the fact that it's just about marriage, like, are they fine, like, with, like, as long as, like, they, I don't know, but, of course. And then finally is the Salvation Army, which in the past have had very transphobic and homophobic policies, but in, after they got called out on them, they have said that they have changed the policies. But you, honestly, you never know. So even though the chicken's good, and there's some really awesome waffle fries. Remember, every waffle or fry you do, that money's going back to teach kids that same-sex marriage rages against Jesus Christ and his values. So remember that. And then next is Coachella. The chairman of Coachella, Philip, I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name because it's German, but a simple Google search should show up. He has a family foundation, and that foundation donates hundreds of thousands of dollars, like just the last year, to Republican congresspeople. And, of course, many Congress Republican congresspeople, you know, have been against the Equality Act and all kinds of discrimination and hate protection in Congress. And then these congresspeople include Paul Ryan and Orrin Hatch. And Paul Ryan is no longer a congressperson. He retired, thank the Lord. But then Orrin Hatch, if you watched any of the Brett Kavanaugh Supreme Court confirmations, Orrin Hatch was very active in trying to discredit Brett Kavanaugh's accuser. And he's also the guy who takes off invisible glasses. You've seen that clip. And also in the past, Phillips' family foundation has donated to extremely homophobic organizations. So before you decide to shell out hundreds of dollars to, well, probably thousands. I don't know how much Coachella is. But before you decide to bail all that money out on that, remember that some of that money will probably end up going to Orrin Hatch. So, I wouldn't want my vacation money going there. And I'm sure that gives you guys something to think about. Of course, this is self-care for the queer. The queer is here and maybe even out there. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast about Pride. See you next week.